Chapter 25. Yasna 6. The feast hall fell silent as Yasna entered. The quiet was eerie. The competition should have been a time of mirth and celebration, not one of solemnity. Titles would be presented, honor and prestige would be earned, old acquaintances could be rekindled, and old rivalries inflamed. Yet, at Yasna's entrance, the women suddenly fell silent. The men, sensing the mood, trailed off as well. Yasna tried to ignore the onlookers as she walked forward with a smooth gait. The variety in kingdoms represented at the feast was surprising. Thalen and Vaden visitors were to be expected. Both kingdoms were powerful in their own right and were allies of Alethkar. However, there were also would-be noblemen from the struggling kingdoms of distant Prahl, conquered aristocrats from the occupied kingdom of Lachenron, and even a few Shin clansmen. For the festivities, Elokar had chosen the Jez Hall, the 11th Hall as it was called, built not for a single kingdom, but to accommodate a larger mixed group. It was wide and open, its support columns relegated to the outer rim, with four massive pillars running down the center of the chamber. A dueling ring had been drawn between each set of pillars, with tables forming layered circles around them. There would be other dueling rings, of course, in lesser feast halls, attended by citizens and less important nobility. The preliminary duels had already been performed. Only the very best of contestants would perform before the king. Yasna walked through the room, maintaining an elegant stride, Tala blue, hair up, looking as regal as she ever had. While Elokar had thought to keep the betrothal announcement a relative secret, Nanava had seen to it that every woman in the court knew exactly what was going to happen. And what a man's wife knew, he knew. The men watched respectfully as Yasna passed, pleasantly oblivious to the truth. To them, the betrothal announcement marked the joyous and long overdue marriage of the king's aging sister. Their wives, however, knew better. The women of the court smiled with false eyes. Those with enough sense to pay attention realized that no wedding would be announced this day, but a funeral, the death of Yasna's political career. Yasna's struggle with the queen had been unseen, even unmentioned, but it had been as fervent as any battlefield war. Nanava sat at the queen's table, almost demure in her red tala, resplendent with sapphires. She had won. As Yasna's closest married female kin and surrogate mother, Nanava had the right to choose Yasna's husband. She could choose practically anyone, provided the match wasn't too unequal. However, there were plenty of lords of modest rank who lived far, far from oath gates or courts. It would not be difficult to find Yasna a man with little interest in politics, one who lived in a city so secluded from important events that Yasna would have difficulty discovering what was happening in Ral Arum, let alone influence court politics. Yasna was not completely defeated, but it would take her years to recover. Dalinar sat at the king's table, his hostility toward Elokar far less evident than it had been a few weeks before. Once again, Meridas sat in the place normally reserved for the king's second portion. Yasna frowned slightly as she saw the smooth-mannered nobleman. He was far too conniving for a male, and far too successful in his politics for one from such a relatively unknown house. Elokar stood, waving for Yasna to approach his table. She moved forward, bowing before him. "I wish you would consent to wearing jewelry, sister," he said quietly. "It is unseemly of the king's sister to appear so plain, especially on her betrothal day." Yasna gave no response. Traditional or not, This was one matter on which she would offer no concession. Elokar sighed, turning to the crowd. I have some business that needs to be attended to before this competition begins, he said unnecessarily to the quiet room. His next words were a surprise, however. You, he said, pointing at a young nobleman in a green sea silk shirt and loose brown trousers. Stand before your king. The young man flushed slightly, embarrassed. Yasna turned, resting her uncuffed hand lightly on the king's table. She didn't recognize the man, but his cloak bore Jezenrosh's glyph. The young nobleman rose, then walked forward and fell to one knee before the king's table. Introduce yourself to the court, Elokar ordered, leaning forward, hands on the table as he looked down at the younger man. I am Fifth Lord Islin Naninaran of Crossguard, Your Majesty. Fifth Lord of Crossguard? A shard bearer. Indeed, his yet unbonded blade could be seen leaning against his table. Yasna recognized his family name, but only vaguely. When were you given your blade? Elokar demanded. Several months ago, Your Majesty, the young man said. From Lord Jezenrosh. It belonged to one of his men who had died in the war. And where is your Lord Jezenrosh now? Elokar asked. In Crossguard, Your Majesty, the man said, eyes still lowered. He regrets his inability to attend, but his illness forbids it. Elokar stood upright, waving the young shard-bearer away. Yasna felt a chill. She recognized the dangerous anger in her brother's eyes. Hear that, Court of Alethkar, the king announced. I ordered every shard-bearer in my realm to attend this feast, yet my cousin sees fit to ignore his king. In his place, he sends two unknown shard-bearers, men granted blades less than 100 days ago, men none of us have even met. Don't do this, Elokar, Yasna thought, taking a step toward him. He stopped her with a glare. Perhaps Lord Jezenrosh truly is ill, Elokar said. Perhaps, for some reason, he needs to keep his other shard bearers at his side, sending only these pups to answer his king's command. Either way, he is no longer able to fulfill his duties as Parshan. Therefore, I relieve him of the title, lest it burden him further. Yasna sighed. The title of Parshan once given was normally only withdrawn in response to treason. Jezenrosh had many relatives, allies, and friends. Taking his title was a slap that would be felt across many faces. The crowd seemed less surprised than it should have been. Of course they knew, Yasna thought. This is too conniving a move for Elokar to have managed on his own. It has been planned ever since the king announced the dueling competition. Yasna eyed Nanava, who was smiling contentedly at her table, ladies de Sol and Senis at her side, the wives of the two most powerful third lords in Alethkar. She was behind Elokar's order that all shard-bearers attend the competition, but what reason could she possibly have to oust Jezenrosh?
Lord Meridas Isvenda, Elokar said, turning. The tall merchant fell to one knee. For service to your king and country, I grant you lordship of the city of Orinja, formerly of Prelir. Orinja shall bear the rank of fourth city until the time of the next census. I also name you Parshan to the king, Warden of Prala. Select for yourself a shard blade from those to be awarded this evening.
Yasna's displeasure seethed. Following Jezenrosh's release, Meridas's appointment was hardly surprising. The merchant finally had the power he had sought so hard to obtain. Now he would be an even more potent force in Aleth politics. With its oath gate, Orinja would quickly become one of the most powerful cities in the kingdom. Yasna was so displeased, that she almost missed Elokar's nod for his wife to stand. It was time.
"My lord," the queen said loudly, "I have decided to exercise my right of decision. Lady Yasna Colin has served her house well, but it is time that she be wedded."
Nanava paused, then smiled slightly.
"Oddly, I see another problem in the court that needs to be rectified. Lord Meridas has a new duty and a new blade, but he too is unwedded, an unfitting state for a king's portion. Therefore, I give Lady Yasna to him, assuming his mother approves. Let Lady Yasna Colin be married to Lord Meridas Isvenda."
Yasna stood dumbly. She turned from Nanava to the king and finally to the smiling Meridas.
"What?"
Meridas stood.
"I am very pleased by this opportunity to become brothers with the king I love so much," he announced, "and even more pleased to receive a woman as beautiful and capable as Lady Yasna. I shall send word to my mother immediately. The wedding can occur as soon as she blesses the union, my lady queen."
Elokar smiled broadly.
"Then the betrothal is official. Let the duels begin."